Hey, glad you can make it. And welcome to the Employee Cycle Podcast, where we talk to HR innovators, thought leaders, and even some disruptors about the latest in HR trends, HR tech, and you guessed it, HR data. Well, you've heard enough of me talking. Now let's start the show.
Thank you so much for making time to be on the Employee Cycle Podcast, as we all have so many things to manage and navigate from a personal and a professional perspective during this health crisis. But I'm really interested in you coming on the show and discussing how to communicate and engage with a remote workforce. So if you could please share with us your name, title, company, and what you do, and then we can go right into the interview.
Thank you so much. So I'm Kristen Hayward. I'm the head of people over at Superhuman, and I'm located in the San Francisco Bay Area.
Awesome. And for those who are not familiar with Superhuman, what do you do?
So Superhuman, our mission is to make our users end each day feeling productive, happy, and content. So today we've accomplished that by building the fastest email experience in the world. We intend to build Superhuman into a productivity suite.
So I'm sure working at a communication company, you might know a thing or two about communicating with a workforce, especially remote. So one of the things that I also want to give a huge shout out about, that this is your very first podcast. So I am thrilled and honored for it to be with us. We feel very special.
Well, thank you so much for having me. Definitely excited. This is a topic I'm very passionate about. And so I'm really excited to join you today.
Great. So the topic is how to communicate and engage with a remote workforce. So I think it's important to ask, before we talk about communication and engagement, where was your company previous to COVID and forcing everybody to work remotely? Because I believe your workforce was already remote, correct?
Partially. And so what we had done is everyone is based in the San Francisco Bay Area, which is where we have our office. We have our office in downtown San Francisco, and employees were allowed to work from home up to 2 days a week and encouraged to do so. And a big part of that is we're a productivity company, and so we want to make sure that people have productive working environments. So we actually were already investing in helping people get a productive office environment, but we were also giving employees a work-from-home budget to set up a productive home office so they could be just as productive remote as they were in the office.
So for a lot of people who are now thinking about and potentially already moved to this hybrid workforce of part remote, part in the office, and trying to have this, like, air quotes, mandatory-ish days of working remote, what advice would you give companies that are thinking about this as they may be hesitant and already thinking about the challenges of sometimes having people together and sometimes not being able to see them?
I think the biggest one is to be really intentional about what the hesitations are. I think one of there's sort of two big things that really change from a team perspective with going remote. The first one is inclusion in meetings. And then the second one is usually the ability to collaborate remotely. And those tend to be the two biggest reasons why companies oppose working remote. And so I think it's important to be really intentional about how you address and solve those challenges. And it could be things like, for instance, at Superhuman, we invested in one of those like OWL cameras, and it helped to really improve the audio quality of our company-wide meetings. So that way, when people were remote, the OWL was picking up the high-quality conversation that was happening. Because oftentimes when you are not in a meeting and everyone else is in a meeting, you're missing that. So being intentional about those types of things, the norms and the standards that you put in place, I think is really, really important. And the second part is thinking about the employee experience and thinking about what is it about an in-person employee experience that is so great, and how do you take the best parts of that and bring that remote, but also how do you appreciate not everything's going to be the same, and how do you replace things? And so I'll give you a very specific example. When at Superhuman, one tradition we really loved is birthdays. And so we were all about the cake. And, you know, our office manager would order the type of cake the person wanted. And we call you to the kitchen and we sing happy birthday. And we have way too much cake at Superhuman because we oddly have a lot of people that have birthdays in the same month. So we have like four people that are born on the same day in March. And so remote, it's obviously not going to be the same thing where everyone's in your room singing happy birthday to you. So instead, we send the person treats. And we do these really fun Zoom hangouts where we like to like trick people, and then someone gets on the Zoom and it's a surprise. And then we all sing happy birthday and you'll have a fun discussion. And so we've actually had more fun doing the Zoom hangouts than we have doing the kitchen birthdays. And it's obviously different, but we've been able to replace that with something that's actually quite a bit more fun. And so I think that's a really key part of it, is saying what's great about the in-person employee experience and what are the different ways that we can replicate it remotely and at times make it even better.
I want to touch on that again in a second, because as I've been doing these interviews, there's been a lot of HR leaders talking about how they are now experiencing a refreshingly increasing amount of engagement that they haven't seen before, which I think is awesome. But I've never heard of those owl cameras. So I just wanted to ask if you could provide some info or like, let me know what that is. Are you connecting it to your computer? Is it something that you just sit on top? Is it a separate camera through USB or Bluetooth? How does it work?
Yeah, that's a great question. So it's an actual like video conference device. And what it does is it has a little rotating sound piece on it. And it picks up when people are talking and like rotates around. And the reason why it's called an owl is, you know, it's kind of shaped like a little owl. And then it has like a little eye thing on top that rotates around and picks up sound in the room. And so things like that, like investing, if you are going to have, especially if you can have a partially remote workforce instead of a fully remote workforce where, you know, half the people are going to be in the office and half the people are going to be working from a home office, it's especially important to invest in good video conference for the office because, you know, in the office, people might be having a live discussion. And if you have a handful of employees that are working from a home office, they're not getting that same experience. And one of the really interesting things about COVID, we see all these companies just going 100% remote as a result. But the thing those companies aren't necessarily realizing is it's very different to be 100% remote than partially remote. And right now, we're all working from our home office. So we're all kind of having the same experience because, you know, for us at Superhuman, it's 45 people. 45 people are dialing in from separate connections. It's very different to have 20 people dialing in from one connection and 25 people dialing in from single connections. And so the experience in today's fully remote world is not going to be the same in a partially remote world. And so that's an important consideration. And as HR leaders, we have to recognize those distinctions, especially when we think about creating feelings of inclusion in a remote culture.
Got it. Thanks for that. And I'm going to search for that and also include a link in the show notes for other people who want to potentially buy them for their team. But back to what you were saying in regards to seeing some of the things that you were doing in the office, which sound pretty fun and cool. And now you've transitioned that experience to being online and it's seeming to be much better and more engaging. Are there other areas where you've seen that happen as well? And do you believe that engagement could remain at a higher level even when people are able to get back outside? Or do you think that's mainly because people are forced to be inside?
Yeah, that's a great question. So one example of something that's been quite a bit better is, so there's this experience when you work in an office with people is you like can go grab a drink after work, right? Or you can go grab something to eat. You can stop out and grab lunch together, because you're physically in the same space and you're having the shared experience. So when you're remote and everyone is sheltered in place, you can't quite have that same experience. And so you can definitely do virtual happy hours. We definitely have. But as I'm sure you could imagine, a virtual happy hour gets kind of old after the first one or two. And so instead, what we've done is we've replaced those like virtual hanging out sessions and turned them into virtual activities where we're teaching people skills and they're peer-led. So for instance, I taught everyone a family enchilada recipe and led a virtual cooking class. Next week, I'm going to be teaching people like how to turn staples they already have in their house into like a quick, dirty or fried rice dinner. Because, you know, everyone's working with like staples they have in their house because it's still way too hard to get groceries. We've learned how to turn table scraps like bits of potatoes into food. Like how can you take a scrap of potato and actually grow potatoes from it? From one of our colleagues. We've learned how to plant succulents indoors and outdoors, and how you can like pick up succulent buds that have fallen on the ground and turn them into new plants. We have one of our amazing employees is like a fitness buff, and he's been teaching virtual workout classes. And so every week we offer two of these. We call them virtual activities. And it's great because this is not something we were doing before. And one, crap, we have a ton of talented people on the superhuman team that have taught us a ton of really cool stuff. But two, it's really fun because it creates an opportunity for us to hang out and engage in the same way we might have grabbed a drink after work, say. But one, it's a lot more inclusive. And two, it's just a lot more fun. And so that's something I'm really excited to continue when we get back into the office. Because it's just, you know, it's a way we've made our culture even better and given people a platform to teach us these really cool skills. My succulents just came in the mail, so I'm super excited to plant them. And that has been one, and it's been really fun. Another thing that we've done, which I think has been a really positive improvement. So when you're with someone in person and you enter a meeting, you have a shared experience of like, maybe you grabbed a cup of coffee together, or maybe you've both experienced a BART delay. So when you're constantly doing back-to-back virtual meetings, you don't have that same shared experience. And so instead, we start meetings with, I call them icebreakers, but it's just like a positive question. You know, when you've done 8 virtual meetings in a row, like you're kind of tired of hearing how everyone is. Because one, if you're in the same meetings with the same people, maybe they've already told you 4 out of the 8 meetings you've been in today. And two, maybe no one wants to talk about how they're doing that day, because it's kind of a depressing time in the world and you're in this meeting and you don't really want to think about the fact that over 100,000 people have died in the US of COVID, right? Like, I don't want to think about that. You don't want to think about that. And so instead we start with these positive icebreakers, and they're quite fun because we'll do ones like, you know, the one I did this morning in our People Team channel was, what was your favorite game growing up and why? You know, what was your favorite toy? What's your favorite comfort food? And it's nice because they're personal enough that you get to know one another, but light enough that, you know, everyone can kind of start on a positive moment or a positive memory and have that shared experience with coworkers. And so those have been really great. And we've been doing them in Slack as well.
When we talk about communication, and I know, I believe you said you're about 45 employees, so you may not have too many managers, but how are you dealing with communication company-wide? Is it mostly coming from you as broadcast to many and all your employees? Is it coming from your CEO broadcast to everyone? Is it like whisper down the lane where it's coming from you and or your CEO to managers? How does that work?
Yeah. So one thing I try to do in my role as head of people is I try to empower leaders to own communication around the businesses as much as possible. And in my role, be that partner to them. And so Rahul Vora is our CEO. So every Friday, he leads an AMA, which is Ask Me Anything. And employees can submit questions anonymously, or they can ask questions live. And we've covered some really tough ones. For instance, at Superhuman, we don't intend to do any layoffs. We announced this in March. We have a pretty solid recession plan. Every couple of weeks, as people see more and more layoffs, they want to know, how are you thinking about layoffs, Rahul? And so we tackle really tough questions like that, financial health of the business, how we're thinking about work from home, what keeps Rahul up at night. So that's been really good because it's provided a really candid forum for us to talk. And then other leaders will also host. And then in addition to that, we are sending weekly emails to just talk about like our COVID updates. And those actually come from one of our co-founder. So as much as possible in my role, I try to be a partner and coach people and advise people on communication. But I try not to own the communication unless it's direct communication about the people team. Because as much as possible, I want business leaders to be empowered over decision-making for their business. And I want them to be really bought in and understand the why. As opposed to like me and my role as HR doing a ton of top-down communication. So most of the communication that I put out is specifically around people team stuff. For instance, right now we're changing up our benefit plans. I own that type of communication, compensation reviews, team surveys, those types of things. And that's a really intentional decision. And then in terms of overall communication tone, one thing that I've been really particular about with COVID in particular is it is a really scary time in the world. And some of the communication examples that we've seen end up online from other companies is maybe unnecessarily fear inducing. So one thing I'm very careful of, you know, when I help and coach people on company-wide emails is, you know, be really intentional about tone. And, you know, there's already so much fear and negativity in the world. In our roles, we really shouldn't add to it. And so we should always communicate from a place of empathy and understanding. Because one, if we communicate from a place of empathy and understanding, people are going to be more likely to come to us should they need something. But two, the world doesn't need any more fear right now. There's already plenty of that.
So speaking of fear, it seemed like it was really smart and strategic on your side to let everyone know early on that there weren't going to be any layoffs. Because speaking of fear, there's a lot of employees that feel that every time they hear from their HR leader, they're going to be let go, which is unfortunate because a lot of HR leaders like yourself are trying to reach out to make sure that people are okay and not just reaching out to let them know that they're let go or furloughed or whatever the situation is. So to end this interview, as we're talking about communication and engagement, especially around a remote workforce, what do you think are the skill sets and the mindset that any fellow people leader or HR leader who's listening to this podcast should bring to the table when they're trying to make sure that they're doing everything they can to reduce stress and anxiety across their workforce?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I think the first one is a sense of empathy for the employee situation, which is very, very different. And so I can give you a very specific example. I don't have any children, and so I can't understand personally the disproportionate impact on parents at this time because I don't have any children. I have a 16-month-old puppy who's quite adorable, but very, very different than having a child. And so I have to approach our parents at Superhuman with a strong sense of empathy and ask questions and really understand what it is that they need. So in addition to empathy, you have to have a sense of curiosity and really seek to understand, because in a time like this, everyone's situation is going to be a little bit different. So you can't approach it with a one-size-fits-all, because one size does not fit all when the personal and the professional are blending like they have with very little time to adapt. Because this has really been quite sudden for people. And I appreciate now we're 10-ish weeks into it. But it still is quite sudden for people to make the kind of change that is necessary for them to have made over the past 10 weeks. And then I think the last one is business sense. And the reason why I say business sense is really important is because as a people leader, you need to be the voice of the employees and really driving forward the employee experience. But you also need to bring the business perspective to the table, because when you're talking to business leaders, you need to be able to balance both. Here's what's best for the business and here's what's best for the employees. And I think it's really important to bring that to the table, especially at a time like this when so many businesses are under such intense strain because of, you know, what's going on in the economy and how so many businesses are being impacted by this.
Kristen, thanks so much for being such an awesome podcast guest here on the Employee Cycle Podcast. You really dropped some gems of wisdom, a lot of insight and knowledge that I'm sure many HR leaders, many people leaders, and just anyone who manages a team will learn from. So thank you so much. By the way, this was your first time doing a podcast and you totally crushed it. So kudos to you. And I didn't eat lunch yet. So all those classes that you're teaching about cooking, maybe I'll have to schedule one of them as well, because you made me really hungry. But other than that, this has been super, super great. Really appreciate your time. So on behalf of our team here at Employee Cycle and everyone who will be listening to this and really appreciating you sharing this and being candid with your experience, we hope you, your family, and your team stay safe and stay healthy. And we thank you again for your time.
Okay. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.